is the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Sitting in for Dr. Mohler today, Russell Moore. Dr. Moore is Dean of the School of Theology at the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and Director of the Carl Henry Institute for Evangelical Engagement. Now, here's your host for today, Dr. Russell Moore.
All right, stop. Collaborate and listen. Oh, sorry. I'm still stuck on the rap music show from yesterday. Time to move on to something else. Move on to whatever you want to talk about. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. And it's Wednesday, so it's Ask Anything Wednesday. So give me a call. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. You can call from wherever you are with whatever question you have on your mind about something you read in the Bible, something you heard in a sermon, about a conversation you had with a neighbor, anything about doctrine, about the church, about evangelism, about your spiritual life, about culture, about politics, but whatever you want to talk about, whatever question you have, give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And ask anything. I'll try to answer. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, 877-893-8255. But first, let's look at what's in the news today. Barack Obama has announced that if elected president, he's going to expand President Bush's faith-based initiatives of delivering social services through churches and other religious organizations. And Senator Obama says he wants to make sure that if you get a federal grant, he says, you can't use the grant, as he puts it, to proselytize to the people you help, and you can't discriminate against them or against the people you hire on the basis of their religion. Federal dollars that go directly to churches, temples, and mosques can be used only on secular programs. Well, of course, I can see the rationale behind saying we're not going to use tax dollars for evangelism. I don't want my tax dollars going to pay for Muslim, quote, evangelism or Mormon, quote, evangelism. But at the same time, the amazing thing behind this whole discussion is that the very reason why people want to fund these faith-based organizations is because they're effective. The reason they're effective is because the gospel is presented in these programs for alcoholics and drug users and women in crisis and others. That's the reason they're so effective. And so what you want to do is to say, well, we want to bring the government in, pay for it all, but take out the very thing that causes the change, which is the gospel. You know what? I would just rather see thousands more Christian social service agencies, ministries, out of local churches, out of associations of churches that say, you know, we don't need any tax dollars. We're going to take the dollars of the Lord's people, and we're going to preach the gospel and give people a cup of cold water in Jesus' name. That's just my view. Maybe I'm crazy. Senator Obama also, according to CNN, is working to mobilize the Christian left, having a bunch of private summits with pastors, trying to reach out to younger evangelicals. And on CNN, on the CNN website, they quote Brian McLaren, former pastor Brian McLaren, emerging church leader who's written, oh, probably 20 books, it seems, on his view of Christianity. And he says he's getting behind this initiative because we've watched the evangelical community be led, he says, and misled. And so now he wants to expand the evangelical commitment to include issues such as global warming and pacifism. If the secular media really believes that Brian McLaren is representative of evangelical Christianity in this country, that's one thing. If evangelical Christians believe that Brian McLaren, who denies central teachings of the Christian faith, if they believe that Brian McLaren is representative of evangelical Christianity, then we're in even worse shape. My fear here is not any kind of political organization of evangelicals. Those are rarely very successful anyway. My bigger worry is about these people who seem to be popping up all over the place in order to support some political agenda as the expansion of evangelical concern, what they're doing to the churches, to the way the churches preach Jesus or not. Newsweek magazine has an interesting article on the Vitter effect. actually interview Michael Cromarty of the Ethics and Public Policy Center about David Vitter, about his situation with the prostitute House of Ill Repute, allegedly, from last year. And I really think that Michael Cromarty's comments in this article are really helpful and good in presenting the gospel. He talks about the fact that when you see hypocrisy out there, you shouldn't be surprised. He says Christianity has always had a negative view of human nature. He says you have hypocrites. Everyone, to some degree, is a hypocrite. And yet hypocrisy is not the reigning theme of the church. He says, this is the issue. Yeah, it sets back the public image of evangelical Christianity, but he says the gospel is called good news, and is able to talk about that. I frankly found it refreshing that Newsweek magazine, taking an issue like this, a really difficult, troubling issue, would give somebody the opportunity to say, hey, God's a God who condemns sin, but he condemns it at the cross, and he forgives sinners. That's the gospel. That's good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. Well, it's Wednesday. It means it's Ask Anything Wednesday. So I'm here to talk to you about whatever you want to talk about. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. So give me a call about whatever issue is on your mind. Anything about the Bible, about theology, about politics, about culture, but whatever you want to talk about, give me a call and we will talk about it. And first up is Stephen, who is listening in Wilmington, North Carolina on XM Radio. Stephen, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
How are you doing today, Doctor?
I'm doing fantastic. How are things on the coastlands of Wilmington?
It's a beautiful day today, and I'm just on my way home from work, so
All right. It's
going good out here.
Well, what's your question?
In my Bible study class last Sunday at church, it was brought up the issue, the theological issue, whether Christ descended into hell after his crucifixion or not.
Uh-huh.
And the studies that I've been doing, the systematic theology books and the little Greek books, translation books that I have, I'm not seeing where he actually would have descended into hell or whether there would ever even be a scripture that indicated a need for him to actually do that.
Well, Stephen, I think it depends upon what somebody means by did Jesus go to hell after his crucifixion. And so let me just put it to you this way. The Apostles' Creed says descended into hell. I'm able to say that. When I recite the Apostles' Creed, I can say that in full and good conscience. I believe it. But I believe it in a different way than some teachers in the church today. For instance, Kenneth Copeland, who holds, I believe it's Kenneth Copeland or maybe Kenneth Hagin, some of these health and wealth prosperity gospel teachers who make the claim, a claim that is completely novel in the history of Christian thought, that Jesus went to hell in order to suffer for three more days after his crucifixion. No. Jesus fully paid the penalty for sin at the cross, and at the resurrection, he is fully vindicated for that sacrifice. He is fully justified in the sight of God and in the sight of the world. I think there are Christians, and there have been Christians, really from the very beginning of Christianity, who have argued that during that interlude between Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection, that Jesus went into the realm of the dead. And so there are those who will say, arguing from passages such as 1 Peter 3, that Jesus is preaching to the spirits in prison. Some of them will say, well, what Jesus does is he goes to the place of the dead, those Old Testament saints who were believers, and he goes and announces to them, you are now redeemed, and he leads them into the heavenly places. Now, there are others who would say, no, Jesus goes into that abode of the dead, and he preaches to those spirits in prison and says to them, you're now condemned. You've now been defeated. I've now triumphed over you. I think that that's acceptable within Christian orthodoxy. I don't think it's what the Bible teaches. I think the Apostle Peter in 1 Peter chapter 3 does talk about Jesus preaching to the spirits in prison. But I think the way that Jesus does that preaching is exactly what Peter says at the end there of 1 Peter chapter 3 when he says, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God with angels and authorities and powers having been subjected to him. The preaching, I think, that Jesus does to those spirits in prison, to the demonic beings, is through that resurrection. He's showing them, your head's crushed, it's over for you, your power is coming to an end. Did Jesus go to hell? Yeah, on the cross. He bore the wrath of God. He bore everything that it means to go to hell, but at the cross. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Ask Anything Wednesday. You can ask whatever you want, and I'll try to answer it today, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, who is on vacation at the lake right now. What about you? Have you got a question on your mind today? Are you driving home right now thinking about some issue that's been on your mind? Are you, you know, maybe doing some yard work out in the yard with a radio there? Maybe you're on your way to the beach yourself. But you're thinking about an issue, something about the Bible, something about theology, something about evangelism, something about ethics, something about culture or politics, whatever is on your mind. Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Ask Anything Wednesday. You can ask whatever you want to, and I'll be glad to talk to you about it today, 877-893-8255. And we have Valerie on the line. Valerie, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi, Mr. Moore. Thank you.
Good to talk to you, Valerie. What's your question today?
I was raised in a church that taught that if we had unconfessed sin, even if it was something, well, that's my question. If we have unconfessed sin, it creates a barrier between God and our prayers. Mm-hmm. God cannot hear our prayers if we have unconfessed sin. And my question is that biblically correct? And does that apply to something that we're not fully aware of, you know, mm-hmm. a conviction that we're not sure what it is?
Mm-hmm. I hope not, or I just need to never pray, because just in the past second since I've been talking to you, I've not loved the Lord my God with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, which is sin. And so if in order to be able to be heard by God, I needed to be categorizing every sin before I could come to him, then I would never be able to pray. I think instead what the scripture is teaching is that we come to God through Jesus Christ, so that if I'm a believer, if I am trusting in Christ, then I am hidden in Christ, so that when I'm praying, God hears me as though he is hearing Jesus. Jesus is crying out. That's why we pray, Paul says, through the Spirit. Sometimes with groanings that are too deep for words, the Spirit is interceding for us as we pray. Now, does unconfessed sin in our life have something to do with our relationship with God? Absolutely, yes. The relationship that we have with God that comes through prayer, often there is a distancing of communion on my part, on the part of the believer, when there's unconfessed sin there. And so what God's going to do, though, is not to stop listening to you when there is sin in your life. What God's going to do, according to Hebrews chapter 12, is he's going to discipline you. And how does he discipline you? He disciplines you through the church, through the counsel of other believers, through the Word of God, and through providence in your life. He's going to do what it takes to get you conformed into the image of Christ. So I don't think it's an issue of, well, I need to make sure that I've got all my sins categorized before I come to God. No, no, no. We're always repenting, constantly repenting. That sinner's prayer is not just something that we do at the beginning of the Christian life. It's something that we always do as we move forward in faith. What's your question today? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. be glad to talk to you about whatever it is that's on your mind about the Bible, about theology, about politics, about culture, about ethics, about whatever you want to talk about. Maybe you're interested in the issue Dr. Moeller took on his blog today about Leona Helmsley. If you haven't seen it, go to www.albertmoeller.com and see what Dr. Moeller has to say about this multi-millionaire heiress who died and left her entire multi-million dollar fortune and inheritance to dogs. To dogs. What is a dog going to do with millions of dollars? Can be taken care of by that. Dr. Moeller says there's a little bit more than meets the eye going on with that. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255. Humans only, please. No dogs on Ask Anything Wednesday on the lines. 877-893-8255. And we have a question that's come in via email that I find really interesting, and this is from a man in Quebec, Canada, who writes and says, what should our theology of step-parents and former step-parents be? He says, I love my stepfather, and my mom recently told me that she and him may be getting a divorce soon. How does the fifth commandment apply to him then? He worked hard and sacrificed much for me. Do I treat him like any other person? Wow, that is a heartbreaking question. I think there are a lot of people who have had stepfathers or stepmothers who have come into a family and who have been fathers and mothers to them. And I think the fifth commandment would apply in honoring that person for the sacrifice that that person has given to you, regardless of what the marital status of this couple is. But it's so sad that this kind of question, I mean, think about all of the pain and all of the fallenness that just gets us to the kind of world in which that kind of question has to be asked. It's kind of like I was preaching this past weekend at a church, and someone told me about when the pastor there stood up and preached on abortion. And the first thing he did was to get into the pulpit and say, it really makes me sad that I have to address this issue. I can't believe that I have to tell mothers not to abort their babies. I really resonate with that. It is sad that we live in the kind of world in which some of these things have to be addressed. But it's the kind of world we've been living in since Eden. And so I would say to this emailer, yeah, you honor that stepdad or former stepdad or whatever you would call him now. You honor him for his sacrifice and don't just treat him as any other person. What's your question today? Give me a call. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Monica on the line. Monica, welcome to the Albert Moeller Program.
Thank you, Dr. Moore. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Good to talk to you. What's your question today?
Just have a question. Always wondered. Been a Christian since I was 12 years old, and I'm faithful to reading God's Word. But I've always wondered. Of course, heaven is a place of perfection. How did sin enter heaven in order for Lucifer to be kicked out of heaven?
I don't know. That's the short answer, Monica. I think that Scripture speaks of a mystery of iniquity, and Scripture does not directly address exactly what took place in the angelic fall, except we know that there was a fall. And so I think that a lot of that has to be consigned to the area of mystery, of the secret things that belong to the Lord our God. What we know is that you did have a fall of the angelic beings. What we do know is that God is not the author of sin. We do know that God is not the creator of sin. But we know that there was sin, that God permitted this sin for a reason. Augustine, the church father, used to talk about sin being the absence of the presence of God, that this was a privation of God's active presence. I don't know. I think we have to, at the end of the day, say we don't know exactly what happened there. There is a great mystery of iniquity. But what we do know is that God had a purpose and a plan involved in the creation of the universe, and it's Ephesians 1, 9, and 10, that all things would be summed up in Christ, Romans 8, 29, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. That's what God was doing. That's what he's told us, and he's told us he's good. What's your question today? Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Whatever you want to talk about, we'll talk about it on Ask Anything Wednesday. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get on the line, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com and email your questions and comments. Here again is your guest host, Dr. Russell Moore.
Sun shining, it's not too hot. If I just had a Coke Zero in the studio, everything would be just about as completely perfect as it could possibly get today. 4th of July weekend, getting ready for the celebration of the independence of our nation. Just a great day. But maybe there's something nagging at you, a question you've got, that if you just talk about that, then maybe things would be even better. Give me a call, 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, vacationing Albert Mohler. 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK, and ask whatever you want, whatever's on your mind about the Bible, about theology, about ethics, about evangelism, about something going on in your family or in your neighborhood, maybe a conversation that you had with a neighbor or with a coworker or somebody in your Bible study class, and you just say, you know, I don't know what to think about that. Maybe you saw something on the news or you read something in a magazine, and you say, you know, How should I think about that as a Christian? Well, let's talk about it. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. And we have Brandon on the line, who is listening on XM Radio from Knoxville, Tennessee. Brandon, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Moore.
Glad to. What's your question?
Hey, my question is I understand in evangelism that we can't tell everyone, you know, that Christ died for them.
Really?
But, if limited atonement is you know, it's true, then obviously Christ didn't die for everyone, right?
Okay, but I don't believe in limited atonement, but that's fine. Maybe you do. We can agree to disagree on that. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I guess we would have differing theologies, but I mean, like in Psalm 5, it says that God abhors those who work iniquity, and then in Romans 9, we read that. From the womb that God hated Esau.
Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering, you know, in evangelism, how, you know, I know, like Spurgeon said, that we're to teach our kids first of all to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
before we tell them to actually love God. And in evangelism, I'm kind of struggling with one way or the other.
Well, whether or not you can tell a lost person that God loves them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think absolutely yes. I think that the scripture teaches that God has got a love for all human beings, that he is patient with all. Why will you die? God says there is a love that God has for all people. You think about the way that Jesus, when he stands over Jerusalem and says, how I would have gathered you as a hen gathers her chicks, and Jesus weeps over the city of Jerusalem. You think about that rich young ruler who leaves from Jesus, and Jesus is saddened because he loves him. I think absolutely you can say to any lost person that you see, God loves you. Now, Christians disagree over what you call limited atonement, and really, the issue of limited atonement for most people has to do with the order of what God has in mind. As he is planning out the salvation of the world. So for most people, there's really not a whole lot of difference, or there shouldn't be, in terms of how you share the gospel, whatever you believe about the extent of the atonement. But I think on this issue, yes, you are able to say God loves you. Now, that doesn't mean that you are not saying at the same time you're a rebel, you're at enmity with God. And Brandon, I would recommend a really helpful resource, and it's D.A. Carson's The Difficult Doctrine of the Love of God, I believe is the name of it. I believe Crossway is the publisher, and it's a really good resource about this issue of the love of God. But absolutely, not only can you say to a lost person, God loves you, I think you should say to a lost person, God loves you. What's your question today? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. Be glad to talk to you about whatever's on your mind today on Ask Anything Wednesday, 877-893-TALK. We have Eric on the line from Texas. Eric, what's your question?
Yeah, hi, how are you doing today?
Doing fantastic.
Say, I know that it says in the Bible that God forgives us when we ask for forgiveness for our sins.
Uh-huh.
How do we as individuals receive that forgiveness to where we receive it all the time in our own way of thinking and not just on good days?
You mean how do you deal with guilt?
Yeah, guilt. On the bad days I have this real immense sorrow. I don't feel condemned by it, but it's definitely a deep-rooted sorrow.
Okay, all right. Well, Eric, I'm going to take up that question when we come back from the break, and I'll take whatever question the rest of y'all have. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
The Superior Gold Group, a precious metals firm, is proud to sponsor the Albert Mohler Program. You can get more information about buying gold at 866-432-8656.
Albert Mohler is somewhere on water skis. I'm here in the studio in his place. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This is the Albert Mohler Program, and it's Ask Anything Wednesday. So ask anything you want to about the Bible, about theology, about politics, about maybe just a question that came up in a conversation at your living room table. I guess you don't have a table in the living room. What coffee table? At your kitchen table. And I'll be glad to talk to you about it. Give me a call, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. But first, a question that was asked right before the break about forgiveness. Sometimes you'll hear people who will say, you know, how do I forgive myself? And a lot of times I don't even know what they're talking about there, because sometimes that's just really psychotherapeutic contemporary babble. But a lot of times what they're getting at is something that's really significant, and that's what I think our caller was getting at, and that's guilt. The scripture teaches in Revelation chapter 12 that Satan has power over people because of accusation. He's the accuser of the brethren. And so for a believer, what Satan's strategy is for a believer is different than his strategy for an unbeliever. What he wants to do with an unbeliever is to convince the unbeliever that everything's okay. There's no problem. Like the old Saturday Night Live humorist Jack Handy used to say, the first thing I learned to do was to forgive myself. And then I said to myself, go ahead and do whatever you want. It's okay by me. Now, that's the way a lot of people live. But for believers, what Satan tries to do is to condemn. And so you want to see yourself as under condemnation. Why? Because that turns your direction and turns your focus away from Christ. And so for the believer, what I would say is stop looking at yourself and start looking away from yourself to Jesus Christ, so that when you start hearing that accusation that comes to you, you're a sinner. You're a sinner. You know you're a sinner. You know that the wages of sin is death. And you know that you're guilty. Look to the cross. Point to the cross. Point to the empty tomb. And point to the fact that you are hidden in Christ, so that everything that is true of Jesus is now true of you. Everything that is true of Jesus in his humanity is true now of you. You are accepted in the Beloved, Paul says. You are seen as perfectly righteous before God. You are the beloved child of God. And so, preach the gospel to yourself. The real problem behind that question that was asked is the fact there are a whole lot of people who think that the gospel is for lost people. They don't see the fact that the gospel is for Christians. I mean, think about all of the letters that we have in the New Testament. Ephesians and Romans and Galatians and 1st and 2nd Corinthians. It's all of these letters that have these presentations of the gospel. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're written to Christians. They're written to believers in churches. And yet the apostles understand and know. The Holy Spirit understands and knows that we need the gospel preached to ourselves constantly. And so that would be the answer that I would give to you. What's your question today? Give me a call. 877-893-8255. 877-893-TALK. Ask whatever you want to. This Ask Anything Wednesday. And I'll try to make it an Answer Anything Wednesday. 877-893-8255. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler here on the Albert Mohler Program. And there is a question that has come in through email from a gentleman who is really confused when he heard on this program the phrase church discipline. And he says, I don't know what this is. He says, I guess since it has church in it, it has something to do with punishment or consequences. He said, I'm assuming it has to do with repentance, but what is it? Does it have something to do with getting beaten by the congregation? Or is it more like endless times in Bible classes? I really don't have the slightest clue what you are talking about when you talk about church discipline. Well, I'm glad you asked that question, because a lot of people have never seen church discipline done. They read about it in the Bible, but they've never seen it done. And so it's difficult for some people to understand. Some people think that church discipline is punitive. Now, of course, it is not physical beating by the pastors of a congregation, nor is it kind of the way that this questioner puts it, kind of time out time in endless Sunday school classes. That sounds more like kind of summer detention. Church discipline instead is discipleship. It's the same thing. You think about the discipline of a child. The discipline of a child is not just spanking. Discipline of a child is teaching, it's instruction, and it is spanking, and it is what we would typically think of as discipline. All of us who are members of churches are under the discipline of our churches. Our churches are discipling us. And what the Bible teaches in Matthew 18 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 5 is when there is a member of a congregation who is in a pattern of unrepentant, scandalous sin, that Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, when the congregation is gathered together, as Jesus says, where two or three are gathered together, I'm right there in their midst. The Apostle Paul talks about this to the church at Corinth when he says, when I'm with you, with the Spirit of the Lord Jesus, when the congregation says to this person who is unrepentant, it's been through the whole process of one person going to him, two people going to him, the person refuses to repent, the congregation says, you are no longer considered to be a brother. You're no longer considered to be a sister. You are now no longer a member of the congregation. And why? Because in the New Testament, the members of churches represent those who have been redeemed. So that a lost person looking at your church membership role, what he ought to be seeing is you saying, if you want to know what a Christian is what we mean by a Christian. This list of names. These are the people we believe that we are going to be with these people in the resurrection from the dead, and these are real and genuine believers. In church discipline, what the Holy Spirit says is, you are excommunicated from the people of God. Now, what Jesus says is, if this is a believer, he's going to repent. If he returns, you've gained a brother. If not, as Paul says, you are handing him over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. You are treating him like any other lost person that he might come to repentance. That's church discipline. What's your question today? Give me a call at 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We'll talk about whatever you want to. It's Ask Anything Wednesday. So think about that question. Maybe you've been talking about it, maybe even today, or thinking about it. Anything you want, 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. We'll take it up. This is Russell Moore, sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. The phone number is 877-893-8255, 877-893-TALK. It's Ask Anything Wednesday, and this is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program. We have Stephen on the line who's calling from Germantown, Maryland. Stephen, welcome to the Albert Mohler Program.
Hi.
What's your question today?
My question is, I wanted to know, or I've always been curious about, how the dinosaurs fit into church history, or what does the Bible say about the dinosaurs, if anything.
How they fit into church history?
Yes. Like, just, I mean, is there, I guess more specifically, how does it, does the Bible say anything about dinosaurs? Or, you know, you can just have people talking about how does dinosaurs fit into the history of the Bible.
Oh, I see, yeah. Well, I mean, I think that comes back to your understanding of how to interpret Genesis, whether or not you think that the universe is several thousand years old, as most people in the history of the church up until the contemporary era believed, or whether or not you believe that the days of Genesis represent millions or billions of years. I tend to hold to a relatively young earth position, which means that I would believe that dinosaurs were created on the sixth day of creation, which I believe was a 24-hour day in the relatively recent past. And so that means that you would have had dinosaurs and human beings existing at least at the same time. And so I think that doesn't answer all the questions. I think there are still all kinds of questions that are asked by science, but I think we have to keep in mind that science is shifting, it's provisional, it's transitional, and some of the theories and explanations given by science 100 years ago, even 50 years ago, even 20 years on some things, are now completely discredited. And so I think we just have to say this is what the scripture seems to be indicating, and we'll go with that. I think what we have to say is that Scripture is teaching that death is a result of Adam's fall, and that the curse that comes upon the creation in Romans chapter 8, that's a result of human sin. Human beings weren't created into a world already in the middle of bloodshed and violence, red in tooth and claw. It's been Ask Anything Wednesday. I know one question that four little boy listeners are asking as they are on their way back from the trip to their cousin's house, driving down the road listening to this program, and that is, what did Dad get me as a souvenir from Texas? I'm not going to tell you. Benjamin, Timothy, Samuel, Jonah, here's what you get home, but it's pretty cool. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler. This has been the Albert Mohler Program, and we'll be back tomorrow to take up intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. If you have a question that you didn't get answered today, send it in via email to the albertmohler.com website, and we'll take it up next time. This is Russell Moore sitting in for Albert Mohler, and this is the Albert Mohler Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmohler.com. You'll find archives of past shows and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmohler.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.